Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. Today's message is entitled Authority for Mission and is based on Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson. The passage that we just read from Matthew's Gospel contains what is called the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, in the late 18th century, a man named William Carey wrote about this passage of Scripture, and he argued very convincingly that Jesus is speaking here not just to the 11 that were there, but to all Christians. And in doing that, he essentially launched the modern missionary movement. In other words, we owe the spread of the gospel in the last several hundred years to this passage, even as we acknowledge that the message of the gospel has not always been shared in a Christ-like manner. The commandment remains, however, go, make disciples, baptizing and teaching them to obey. Well, having just returned from a missions trip in the Dominican Republic, I have been thinking about this passage a lot. We, as I mentioned, do some wonderful good when we travel there. This year, just conservatively speaking, we provide medical care to more than 300 people. We gave away 2,000 pieces of bread and nearly a ton of dry rice and beans. We ministered to hundreds of children. We fitted nearly 100 people with prescription eyeglasses. And yet, I have to admit that when it comes to making disciples, my first thought is always that the Dominican Republic is what makes us into better disciples. The gospel is just so alive and well in the Dominican Republic and certainly in many other countries. And so every time I visit there, I'm just reminded of how much I still have to learn from these brothers and sisters in Christ. At the same time, disciples are being made, and we get to be part of that. Katie reminded me of a boy that she had seen in the medical clinic a few years ago that she was afraid had lymphoma. And if that were the case, then I mean, we really couldn't do anything about it there in the clinic. And so we were able to provide one of our friends with some money to take him to a nearby hospital. And the parents, I believe the boy was about 12, And the parents said, why are you doing this? And one of our Dominican brothers and sisters at the time was able to explain to them the good news and to be that blessing for them in God's life, to tell them about Jesus. And as a result of the love that was shown them, the father came to belief and then the whole family. You know, this passage, it's just so kind of majestic, but it doesn't stand by itself. Jesus says, go, therefore. Therefore, go. Whenever we see a therefore in the Bible, it's a cue to us. It means, of course, that what has been said before provides the basis for the statement that is about to be made. So what did Jesus say before? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. Jesus' disciples go and carry out Jesus' mission under the authority of Jesus. But what does that really mean? What is this authority stuff all about? All right, quick show of hands. Just raise your hand, please, if you have been on a plane in the past 15 years. Okay, that's a good chunk of us. Well, here's authority for you. The Transportation Security Administration, the TSA. They're the people that we hope keep another 9/11 from happening. And so far, so good, it seems, largely speaking. Wow, they do have some authority, don't they? They have the authority to rifle through my things. They have the authority to tell me to remove my belt and my shoes. They have the authority to pat me down. They have the authority to take my stuff if they don't like it. They have the authority, still, to permit me to fly on the plane. But it's not just me. They've got authority over movie stars and members of the military, over foreign diplomats and CEOs of multinational corporations. They have a lot of authority. And how did they get that authority? Well, broadly speaking, the executive branch of the government gives it to them. But the legislative branch funds them. And I guess the judicial branch affirms their existence by upholding that, you know, legal and constitutional authority to do the work that they do. My point is that in essence, there is one mission of the TSA, and each branch of government is participating in that mission in a particular way so that the TSA can do what it does. Furthermore, to do its work, the TSA has to have three things. First, it has to actually have its mission. It has to know what it's there to do. It's there to protect people in America from those who would do harm by means of mass transportation. Secondly, it has to have the right to do the mission in its particular domain. For example, a TSA agent can't just walk into a Walmart parking lot and start frisking people. People would get very unhappy. Even more unhappy than in the airport. But they must be operating under a particular set of circumstances. Three, the TSA has to have the power and the ability to actually do their mission. They need the personnel. They need the personnel to have the proper equipment. They need the personnel to have the proper training. So maybe you see where this is going. As the church, we have to know our mission. And that's why I remind us every week that our job as a church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that's not a mission statement that I just cooked up in my recliner at home. It's straight out of this passage of Scripture. It comes to us from Jesus. It's also the stated mission of the United Methodist Church. We need to be about the business of making disciples, and we need to know that that's our business. Authority isn't authority if it doesn't have a purpose. It's just raw power. But our purpose is to make disciples. I come at this from a slightly different angle. You know, Jesus didn't want to just make 12 disciples and have it end there. Jesus doesn't want to just make people who follow him. He makes people who lead others to follow him. Jesus makes disciple makers. How does that play out? At the very least, I think that it means that as a church, the act of making disciples isn't pinned on one person. It's not just the outreach team. It's not just their job to make disciples. It's not just the pastor's job to make disciples. It's not just the people who are outgoing. It's not just the people who are particularly articulate. It's all of our jobs to make disciples. Okay, so we need to know the mission, but like the TSA, we also have to operate within our particular domain. You know, just like the TSA doesn't operate in the Walmart parking lot, the church doesn't operate from the kingdoms of the world. The church is only sanctioned to do its mission from the kingdom of God. What do I mean by that? I mean that our mission of making disciples must come with the right heart through Christ-like means. We don't force conversion. We don't seize people's stuff that we don't like. Instead, we bring the reality of God's kingdom to the people where they are, as they are. We bring God's healing, mercy, and justice. We bring good news of God's forgiveness in Christ. We embody faithfulness and truth and goodness. In other words, we operate from beginning to end with a posture of humility and love. We are servants holding out the good news of Christ to the world. And we're making use of all the grace that God has given to us to do it with the right heart and by the right means. So one, we have to know our mission. Two, we have to operate out of God's kingdom. And so thirdly, we need to have the power to do our mission. Having the head knowledge isn't good enough. Being in the right place isn't good enough. To truly use our authority that Jesus gives us, we need the power that Jesus gives us. We need the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We need the gifts that the Spirit gives for the upbuilding of the community and as a witness to others. That's authority. It's knowing what you're about. It's doing it for the right reasons, and it's having the ability to carry it out. And with that, we do it. We go and we make disciples. We invite people to follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we share with them the love that God has for them wherever they are in their lives. And we invite them to experience that love for themselves. And so when they turn away from their sins and they turn towards Jesus, we baptize them. We soak them. We drench them with God's cleansing water. And in this, we initiate them into God's family, the kingdom of God. And what do we say as we do that? We baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Our language for baptism comes straight from this great commission from Jesus. And once we're baptized, we're plunged into the mission of God to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Do you see how this works? We're cleansed in the waters of baptism in order that others might be cleansed. We're blessed to be a blessing. And we don't just leave the baptized to themselves. We teach them how to do what Jesus says. We teach one another how to do what Jesus says. The mission, though, isn't just the mission of Jesus. It's also the mission of God the Father. It's the mission of the Holy Spirit. Because unlike the American government, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in complete agreement about how the mission is to be carried out. They're also constantly unified in working through their own people to bring about the fulfillment of the mission. And so today is Trinity Sunday, and I think in church we usually assume that people understand what we're talking about when we talk about the Trinity. It's one of those things that's in the background all the time, but it rarely gets talked about explicitly. But it is just absolutely fundamental to Christian belief. The way that we have come to talk about the Trinity is a fruit, is the fruit of a long labor of love by the church, to come up with a way to compactly describe how God is portrayed in the breadth of Scripture. For example, we baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We don't baptize people in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Spirit. It's simple, but it's important. We also don't baptize people in the names of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is only one name, the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord, Yahweh, God. So how do you make sense of that? How can one name be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, I think in one sense you don't make sense of it. We do just simply affirm that there is one God who is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's it. Analogies can be helpful for imagining how three can be one. I'm a big fan of the banana, but ultimately they all fall short. Because God is not three branches of government, although that might help someone understand how three can be one. God is not three parts like three slices of a pie or three leaves of a clover. God doesn't just take on different forms at different times like ice, water, and steam. All of these can be helpful, but they all fall short. We simply say that God is three persons, each of whom fully possess godness. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. Not three gods, one God in three persons. So even though the Trinity is not a term that appears in the Bible, we see it throughout, and our scripture readings today are some of the most obvious places that it shows up. It's right there. In the beginning, God created. That's God the Father. And then it says, the wind from God, which could also be translated the Spirit of God, swept over the waters. That's the Holy Spirit right there at the beginning of the Bible. And then it says, God spoke, let there be light. That's the Word of God. That's God the Son. And through the Word of God, all things were made. That Word of God became flesh in Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God made flesh, the Word of God in the flesh. And it is this very person of God, the second person of the Trinity, who gives us authority to make disciples. He gives us a mission. He gives us the kingdom to operate within, and he gives us the power to do it by the Holy Spirit. So let's use all the grace that God has given to us to make it happen for the glory of God, so that all people might follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.